Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise, podcast number 159, on May 27th, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. Any of the toys I recommend on this podcast can be purchased at enticeme.com. Just go to enticeme.com, hashtag RubyRider, and don't forget to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off. You can be confident knowing that Enticeme is passionate about the ingredients and materials you put in your body. So all of the sexual accessories and products we have curated for you are safe, healthy, and non-toxic. And talk about a win-win. Every purchase you make helps support me spreading the word about pegging. More pegging equals more happy people. More happy people equals a better world. See, you always wondered about that tagline, changing the world one ass at a time, right? There you go. Okay. One of the first things I noticed just before I started recording this podcast is someone bought a t-shirt and a mug from Zazzle. Okay, so I have t-shirts and mugs and a tote bag up on Zazzle.com. And Zazzle is a place you can just go and create things and make whatever you want. You can make a one-off or you can actually sell things. And so I've talked about it before. I have four different t-shirts for sale there. Two for men and two for women. So whoever bought this bought one for a man, and he bought the kind that says Peggy. Of course, I shouldn't assume. It could be a woman buying it for her partner. Anyway, the t-shirt says Peggy, like P-E-G-G-E-E. And then underneath that, it says www.rubyrider.com. So that's a little more subtle than the one with my logo of me riding the dildo, I think. I think that's a tad more subtle. And this person also bought a mug that said Peggy on it. So I would love to see that modeled. I would love to see a, if you want to remain anonymous, a neck down modeling of the shirt with you holding the cup, perhaps. Who knows? Anyway, thank you for your purchase, whoever that was. Zazzle gives me a tiny bit of money every time you buy one. But more importantly, you can now walk around in the world and let people know what you like. At least those in the know, anyway. So, okay, moving right along here. Let's dive into the mail. Ruby, love the info and insights. I know you consider strapless as doubles. Thus my question, what is the best harness for such a design? We own a Fun Factory share. Great for the wife. She loves the G-spot stimulation. However, terrible for pegging, as per your comments. And yes, I purchased so that she would be stimulated during pegging. We have a standard harness which is designed more on the feminine side, sits above her pubic bone, allows easy access to her genitals, and has a corset back. She wanted feminine. She's still not comfortable with pegging, says she doesn't want to be the guy. She has a conservative upbringing. Thus, I am looking for a harness for the share that is more feminine versus looking like a man's bikini brief. Any insights would be grateful. Keep up the good work. And signed by Jay. So, okay, you have the Fun Factory share. One of the things that puzzled me about your email was you said easy allows easy access to her genitals. Well, but if you've got that share in, her genitals are covered up. So I was a little confused about that. And you know, it's not that the share isn't necessarily a good toy. It's just not the best double out there. So if you've got it and she likes it, well, awesome. Then she is pegging you because she likes it. So that's cool. So probably the harness that I would recommend for you would be the most feminine one that I can think of, which is the spare parts, either the Bella or the Sasha. The Sasha has a ruching that goes up the crack of the ass. So it's basically a gathered area of the material. And so it highlights both of the butt cheeks and it looks really, really hot. And it has garters, so she can wear stockings with it. So it's about as feminine as you can get. The Bella has like a little keyhole thing at the back to show like the top of her butt crack, to show butt crack cleavage, I guess you call it. And it also has garters that can be worn. So definitely falls in the category of feminine. So I think that would be just great for her in terms of the feminine part. Consider splurging and getting the Fuse Tango with the WeVibe Tango Bullet Vibe. because not only will that continue to stimulate her G-spot, but then she'll have clitoral stimulation as well, and maybe she will be much more eager to use that on you, which it sounds like you would really enjoy. And it fits the harness better. But that is the best harness for your situation, sir, and thank you for the question. Okay, next email. This is a short one. Looking for recommendations for squirting dildos, preferably real-looking dildos. Aha. So that is an easy answer. The very best squirting dildo I know of is the Pop dildo, P-O-P, and it does come in realistic colors. I did an interview with the woman who invented it, Stephanie Berman, and that is podcast number 126. And I highly recommend that toy. It's really well made. Stephanie teamed up with the Fun Factory, and the Fun Factory makes some great toys. So it's the best ejaculating dildo out there. You said squirting, and I'm like, no, it's ejaculating. same. So that is the best one I know. I will put links for that in the Linkorama for you, sir. Thanks for the question. And here's the next one. Hi, Ruby. I first want to thank you for all your tireless work spreading the news about pegging. I can truly say that my life is better because of what my wife and I have learned from you. I apologize for the wordiness, but to get to our question and story a bit, we are a happily married 28-year-old couple married in the summer of 2014. As most married couples do, our sex life was amazing. That all changed rather abruptly when I was diagnosed with testicular cancer in the spring of 2015. I bring this up for two reasons. The first being that our sex lives took a bit of a hit with this diagnosis for reasons such as surgery, treatment, and stress. Second, and equally as important, I think you have a great opportunity to help spread the word about the disease, considering the age range that is most likely to be impacted by testicular cancer is men aged 18 to 35. I am sure you have a good amount of listeners, readers, and fans in that age range. Early detection usually ends with nearly 100% survival rates, so awareness truly can save lives. In fact, early detection can significantly decrease the effects on the guy's fertility. I can attest to that, as just about 6 months after my surgery, my wife informed me she was pregnant with our first child. Anyways, back to us. After my surgery, treatment, and sperm donation, since we wanted to have children, our sex lives seemed stagnated. I've always been interested in being pegged, and we have done some manual prostate play, but nothing with a dildo or strap-on. I brought up the idea to my wife, and she seemed reluctantly interested. Ultimately, we decided to buy the dildo and harness at the link below. I must admit, I'm not sure what the quality of the toy is, in your expert opinion. So here are our questions. What do you think of the toy we currently have? Is it safe? I'm going to answer these questions one at a time. Well, the material that they say it's made out of is a durable hard plastic, quote, end quote. So who in the hell knows what that is? You have basically purchased a bottom-of-the-barrel strap-on and harness kit is what you've got. For $39, that's kind of what you get. So, unfortunately, I'm sorry to break that news to you. Is it safe? It's really, I can't tell because they don't tell me what it's made out of. From a couple of the comments, people have complained about the rigidity of it, the lack of flexibility. So it's possible it's just a hard plastic, which is going to be rather unforgiving on your prostate. It doesn't mean it's going to harm it, but it may not be real pleasant. Second question is, if you don't like our current toy, you got that one right, what would you recommend with the same or similar dimensions? I tried to check the dimensions on the link that you gave me, and it said it was 8 inches long and 5 inches in diameter, which is really not possible, so they must mean 5 inches in circumference. A 5-inch circumference is 1.6 inches in diameter. Now, I really doubt that those are the correct measurements for that strap-on that you have, because I have a pretty good eye when looking at things to estimate the length and the width. I've been doing this a long time, right? And this looks like a beginner-sized dildo, and it looks actually pretty small. So I suspect that their measurements are incorrect. What you need to do is to take that thing out and get your tape measure and measure it, and make sure that you know what you have now. If you like exactly what you have in the same dimensions and you're looking for the same thing, then those are the measurements you need to search for. So there are two lines of dildos that I highly recommend. The first would be Blush Novelty's Real Nude line. That line is dual density. It has the softer outer layer and then the more firm inner core for functionality. And it has a suction cup base. So if you want something that's softer than what you have, then Blush Novelties would be awesome. And the suction cup base is a lot of fun for self-play in the shower or wherever else you've got a firm surface. So the other line is the Fuse dildos. Now the Fuse dildos are more firm silicone. That is one of the differences. But also they have an insert area for a mini vibe that'll give her clitoral stimulation. And of course, the best bullet vibe to team with that would be the WeVibe Tango. As always, the best bullet vibe in the world. So either one of those would be fine. Here's how you find the one that is the right size for you. Once you get those measurements from the dildo that you already have, if you're looking for the Blush Novelties Real Nude one, you go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and in the search field, you're going to want to put Real Nude, and it will bring up four different choices, and you can figure out which one matches the measurements of the one that you have. If, on the other hand, you want the Fuse dildo, then you do the same thing. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider. In the search field, you're going to put Fuse, and that is spelled F-U-Z-E. And there are four choices there as well. So that is the best I can do for you with the information that you gave me for that question. That was a long answer for the second question, man. And then let's see. My wife's two complaints have always, this is the next question. My wife's two complaints have always been that she doesn't like the feel of the harness we have all that much. And second, she isn't a fan of having lube all over her hands by the end of it. We use the basic jelly lube from the drugstore. I would love to get her a spare parts harness, but I need to save up for that. Is this liquid lube far better than what we are currently using? Let me answer that question, last one right off the bat. This liquid lube is far, far better than what you're using, and probably a very different consistency that doesn't leave her all gelled up, so to speak. I am picturing what you use more like Vaseline. I could be wrong, but anything that is called jelly lube that comes from the drugstore is pretty gross. So, this liquid is going to be far better. I also advise that you have like little hand towels right there where you're fucking, right? So that she's always got something that she can wipe her hands with. And she can even take one of those hand towels and like tuck it in the back of the harness like a painter's rag, you know? That's what I do sometimes because sometimes I don't want that lube on my hands if I want to touch my guy somewhere else, right? I don't want the lube there. So I know how she feels, and it might be exacerbated by that nasty lube. So yes, the liquid lube is far better. Absolutely. Now, as far as a harness, good for you for saving up to get the spare parts harness. But you know what? Once again, buy once, buy quality. Don't bother getting something in between if what you're doing is trying to save up for the spare parts. I would really recommend the do-it-yourself scarf harness. I really would. So I'm going to put that link in the Linkorama one more time because it's a great option. And that is a comfortable harness to wear. I've used it on some humongous dildos that I do not have a harness big enough to fit in. So I can definitely say that it fits pretty well. I can totally understand your wife's complaint that she doesn't like the feel of the harness because it's a cheap harness and a lot of people complain about those cheap harnesses just not being comfortable. And then you finally close your letter with, sorry again for the length, but I truly appreciate your help and work. And then you signed it, all the best, One Ball Wonder. That is fucking awesome. It's totally an awesome signature. And thank you so much for writing in and telling your story, because it is an important thing for people to know about that that's a possibility. I was not aware that that was the age range that testicular cancer affected the most. And I would have to agree with you that the vast majority of my listeners are in that age range from, let's see, what did you say, 18 to 35. So the only thing that I wish you would have mentioned is how you figured out you had it and what symptoms you had. So I'm going to look those up real quick. Okay, so here's what I found. I'm going to read all of them, even though some of them are more common than others. Symptoms include a lump in either testicle and a feeling of heaviness in the scrotum. Pain areas can be in the lower back. There can be a whole body cancer-related fatigue. And then also common is a painless testicular lump, swelling the scrotum, they already mentioned that, swollen lymph nodes, or weight loss. So those are the symptoms, according to the Mayo Clinic, of testicular cancer. So everybody listening out there, all you guys that age, if something like this happens, get it checked out right away, because you too can be a one-ball wonder. I'm so glad, sir, that you caught it right away. I do appreciate you writing in again and telling your story, and I hope I've answered all your questions to your satisfaction. You will find all those links in the Linkorama, and let us know how it goes. Oh, and no, I can't stop this whole thing without saying congratulations that you have a child on the way. Let's see, I can attest to that. As just 6 months after my surgery, my wife informed me she was pregnant with our first child. You don't mention that you have a child already, and I'm not sure what the time frame is here. So congratulations on the pregnancy. Congratulations on the birth of your child. If you already have one, the whole thing is an amazing story, and I'm happy for you both. Thanks for writing in. All right, here's the next one. I just came across your website and wanted to thank you for an informative site and would like to share with you my limited experience with pegging and hope for some feedback. I'm a 60-year-old man who began enjoying anal play with my ex-wife about 12 years ago. She had read that some men enjoy prostate stimulation and asked me if I had ever tried it, to which I never had. She offered to try it and see what I thought. She used a little vibrator she'd had to help with neck pain. It was small in size and didn't seem too intimidating, so we tried it. It felt good, but I didn't achieve an orgasm like we'd expected me to. Several months later, she read where some men like their women to use a strap-on and asked me if I was interested. It seemed kind of weird, but I always wanted to encourage her to come up with new ideas, as she was kind of shy about doing so, so I agreed to give it a try and let her pick out something she would like. We didn't know much about them, so I'm not sure how good it was, but she picked one that didn't have too big of a dildo attachment. It ended up, though, to be a very pleasurable experience for both of us, which surprised me that she would find much pleasure in it, as I didn't see women as being too crazy about doing something like that. For me, it was really nice to have her in control of the situation, because normally it was up to me to take charge, and it opened up a submissive side of me that I hadn't really been aware that I had. I liked the idea of her penetrating me and being inside of me, even though she really wasn't, but rather the dildo was inside of me, but it was almost like she was inside of me. I liked that she was gentle with me and yet in control. For her, she said it too was exciting and different to be in control, and she felt that she could almost understand what it was like to have a penis and watch the dildo slide in and out of me and feel the resistance until it entered me. She said it was very sexually arousing, and that again surprised me. Afterward, I was kind of surprised that I enjoyed the experience and yet felt kind of guilty about doing it at the same. I was concerned that she might think of me in a negative light, so I did a little research and saw that some guys thought it was somehow having to do with some hidden gay tendency, and it made me wonder, but eventually discounted that and don't think it has anything to do with it. We did this a few more times, but nothing on a regular basis. I only had one orgasm being pegged, but I was already pretty excited before we started. But that wasn't the main point anyway, and I did sustain sexual arousal the other times. My problem now is I had a girlfriend a year or so ago, and we were doing a little exploring, and I brought this subject up, and she thought it was pretty weird and had no interest in it, which made me kind of gun-shy, and I'm not sure how to broach this with future girlfriends. I listened to your last podcast, number 157, where a guy wrote you about a professional dominatrix, and wonder if this might be a viable option, as I would love to experience this again before I'm too old, but I'm not sure, both because I've never gone that route, and as you mentioned, the lack of intimacy would be missing. So, here I am trying to figure out what to do. Thanks for listening and any feedback you might have. And he signs it Kevin. So, Kevin, you, sir, are just a perfect example of so many of the typical things that people experience. Your description of doing it with your ex-wife is what I tell all couples is possible with pegging. Your realization that it was great to have someone else in control and let her run the show, her realization that she really liked running the show. Your feeling that you loved having something inside you, even if it wasn't really her, still it felt that way. She was penetrating you. And her enjoyment of having something she could penetrate you with and watching it slide in and out of you. I mean, I've mentioned on other podcasts how I totally got that. Once I started pegging guys, I'm like, no wonder there's so many pictures of guys fucking women either in their vaginas or in their ass or fucking other guys and just focusing right straight down on your dick going in and out of whatever it is because it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's a beautiful thing. So her enjoyment of that, yes, all of these things happen and you describe them so wonderfully. Now, on to your decision about what's happening now. You said you had a girlfriend a year or so ago, so I'm guessing that you do not have that girlfriend now. And I went back and checked on the message, and you said ex-wife, so the ex-wife's not in the picture either. No girlfriend, no ex-wife, and so you're wondering how to explore it now. If you do not currently have a partner, then yes, professional is a good way to go, but mostly it's a good way to go because it's for you. There is a limited amount of intimacy because it's a business, because it's work, okay? So they specifically do not want to get intimately attached with their clients. However, the advantages to going to a pro are that it's all about you. You don't have to worry about how your partner feels about it, whether that harness is comfortable, whether she's getting aroused. You don't have to think about any of that. It's all structured around what makes you feel good. And she's going to be creating something out of your suggestions and your fantasies that you would like to experience. So once again, it's not about, you know, you pleasing her and doing all of the stuff that you would normally be doing in a relationship, of course, because that's the right thing to do. All of those concerns you can lay by the wayside because you are paying someone. So that's the best part of it. And if you're really looking to explore that, that would probably be the best way to do it. I realize it's a difficult thing to do, laws being what they are around sex work in this country. And I don't have an exact way to tell you how to do that. I am going to leave a link, though, on the Linkorama. This is in the Reddit Sex Workers group, and it's actually a newbie client guide with all kinds of amazing information. So I'll put that link there for anyone who's interested. So that would be what I would suggest. If you do have a partner or a beginning partner, or you're thinking about it and you're dating someone or something like that, then probably the best thing to do is to have that partner listen to podcast number 112, because that will introduce them to the concept. You need to introduce them to the concept to begin with and just say, look, I'm interested in this strap-on thing. Could you please listen to this podcast? Because it'll tell you all about it. And then listen to it yourself first before you have them listen to it. So those are the options. You didn't say that you had a girlfriend now, and I'm thinking the pro thing is probably it. But I hear you. You want to experience it before you're too old. And you know what? Your prostate could probably use a workout if you're 60 too. Prostate stimulation is good for healthy prostates, so don't forget that. And last but not least, while you're waiting to do this, you might want to consider getting an Eneros toy, because that toy will kind of wake up your prostate and it will enable you to use it solo and give yourself some prostate stimulation. Not only is it great for your prostate, but it feels really good and stimulating, and it'll kind of get you used to that whole sensation of prostate pleasure, which it sounds like you had pleasure before, but you didn't really do it enough to get really good at experiencing it and knowing what it felt like. And sometimes the prostate does need to be woken up a little bit, so that's a possibility as well. I'll put a link in the Linkorama for that. The company is called Eneros, and the toy is called the Helix Syn, S-Y-N. So there you go. And do let us know how it goes, please. Sometimes people have amazing experiences going to professionals for this. And sometimes it's just okay because they really do crave that intimacy. And I understand that's a component you want, but, you know, you kind of have to do one or the other right now, I suppose. Thank you for writing in, and I hope it goes well. Good luck. Okay, my next letter. I discovered your website a few days ago, and I'm already hooked. I've listened to about 10 of your podcasts over the course of the last 4 days. I love the advice you provide and love hearing the stories that your followers share with you. Unfortunately, I have yet to experience the joys of being pegged. However, I'm beyond excited to tell you that my girlfriend has agreed to try it with me. First, I'll give you a little bit of background. I'm 24 and she's 27, and we're both virgins. Virgin in the typical sense, not just in regards to pegging. She's absolutely wonderful and the only person in my life that I feel I can truly be myself with. She is very caring and open-minded and accepts me for who I am. Telling her that I had fantasies of being fucked by a strap-on was one of the hardest things I have ever done, second only to when I originally told her that I had feelings for her. I was afraid that she would think less of me when I told her, but she responded with, "Is that it? I thought you were going to say something weird." I felt tremendous relief that making myself so vulnerable hadn't blown up in my face, and then my heart soared when she followed up with, "I've always wondered what it would be like to have a penis." Since then, we've discussed it more and more, even looked around online for some possible first toys. It was then that I decided to find out more about pegging. As it turns out, when you type pegging blog into Google, your website is the first result, at least the first result that isn't a Tumblr page. As I scrolled through your homepage, I saw the picture for podcast number 157 and knew I had to hear it. I've never listened to a podcast before, but you definitely showed me that they can be quite worthwhile. I was enthralled, and when you repeatedly mentioned the infamous episode 112, I had to hear it. Then I listened to number 102, which you also mentioned in 157, because I wanted to see what you had to say about choosing the right equipment. Now I'm working my way backwards through your podcasts, newest to oldest, and I haven't heard a bad one yet. And now I have some questions I'd like to ask you if it's not too much trouble. And here's the first one. You mention in almost all of your podcasts the importance of using body-safe, non-toxic, non-porous dildos. By the way, thank you very much for talking about that so much. I, for one, never heard all about the shady goings-on with some of these companies, and I think it's great that you're making an effort to spread the word. I noticed in one of your more recent podcasts, number 155, I believe, that you said the Dilio by Pipe Dreams is none of those things. That was a heartbreaker for me because I had just found a new product of theirs that will be coming out soon. I took one look at it and just knew I had to have it in my ass. But I understand that it poses a big risk and not the good kind of big risk. So I'll look for something else. My question for you is this. Do you have any recommendations for a body-safe, non-toxic, non-porous dildo that would be good for first-time pegging? We're both on the heavy side, so we're going to need something a little longer. I was thinking about 7 to 8 inches long. So here's the deal with the search for a beginner-sized dildo that's longer. We have totally struck out, contacted a couple of different companies, and either they just don't get back to us soon enough, and really that's not a good thing for a company to do right off the bat, is ignore you for a long time, or the last one that we contacted is pretty much up to capacity because it's kind of a one-man thing. So the measurements of the dildo you're looking for is about 1.25 inches in diameter, no bigger than that. You can do 1 or 1.25, and you want 7 and 7.5 inches long. I would go for 7.5. You said you want between 7 and 8. So 7.5 would be perfect. And I have looked high and low, so what I'm actually going to do is contact one of the manufacturers that we deal with and see if they will make a toy like this, because there's going to be a demand as soon as people understand that a longer dildo makes it easier for the big, beautiful people out there to enjoy pegging instead of having to deal with the shorter one and having not so good of a time of it. They only seem to offer longer dildos with wider diameters, and I don't get it, because I mean, hey, the big beautiful people out there need beginner dildos too. So anyway, that's the status on that. So we're going to keep looking, and eventually we will find something and let you know. And you know, I have to confess, that's part of the reason that this podcast is so late, is because I kept looking and looking for exactly this kind of dildo. And, you know, we're still looking, but I finally realized, got to get the podcast out, even though I don't have what you guys need. And you are not the only one on this podcast that asks for this, and you'll see. So, yes, sorry we don't have what you need right now, but I do have one suggestion, and that will show up in the very next letter. But for now, let's keep going with your questions. Okay, here's the second one. This will not only be my first time being pegged, but it might also be my first time experiencing ass play in general. I've never put anything in my ass before, so I was wondering if I should get some small toys to prepare myself, or if I could manage a dildo on my first time. If you think I should start with something smaller, do you have any recommendations? Okay, I am a big proponent of self-play before you actually do pegging for a number of reasons. The feeling of something in your ass is sometimes initially rather interesting in terms of just feeling like you have to go to the bathroom. So it takes a while of having something in there for some people to start feeling pleasure from it. So that's one thing. Another is it's not at all uncommon to be a little nervous about, okay, I'm going to have something in my ass. And nervousness causes a muscle that really needs to relax to stay contracted, and it makes penetration much more difficult. So if you do a little bit of self-play with, yes, I would recommend a toy, not the dildo right off the bat, then you will be more assured when the pegging actually happens that you can take that toy, that it's not going to be that big of a deal, and that it does bring you pleasure, and you're all ready for it. So it's not going to be anything that's going to freak you out. So what we found was a Fun Factory set of three different plugs, and they're totally awesome. They're designed well so that they're going to stay in. They are designed well so that they are not going to go all the way in. They're very anal safe. They're 100% silicone, and they're three graduated sizes. Fun Factory took the three sizes of their best-selling butt plug and made a set out of it, and so you could actually call that an anal training kit. And it starts off with the smallest one, medium, and the large. The sizes are quite good. The design is quite good, and it's very anal safe. I really like the way these look. So we're going to carry those. We're also going to carry them individually. So if you just want to get the small one, you can do that as well. So I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama. Then you might also consider the Enjoy butt plug. Those are stainless steel, and the weight of them feels exquisite. And the medium size is 1.25 inches at its widest part. So that would be a good size for you as well. I have the large Enjoy butt plug, and it's one of the ones I reviewed for long-term wear. I was comparing the Enjoy butt plug with the Tantus Rider. The Tantus Rider is 1.5 inches in diameter. So, and also it was the large that I had of the Enjoy. Those are too big for beginning play, but they're so comfortable to wear. So I have experience with long-term wear with the Enjoy butt plugs. So that's another one that I recommend. I will put both of those links on the Linkorama for you, sir. And as a matter of fact, before I move on to the third question, I did want to mention something. And you had said you're both virgins as well as pegging virgins. So I'm kind of interested in that, because normally what I consider pegging is kind of a varsity act, if you will. I consider it varsity sex. So I find it very interesting if you are indeed exploring the concept of, and not only just the concept of, but talking about it and talking about which toys you're going to get and planning for it to the point of getting toys before you have even had regular sex. I find that very interesting. When I say that pegging is varsity sex, I guess there's really no reason that you can't do pegging at the same time or even before you do regular sex. It's just not usually the way that people do it. But, you know, and I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head here. I certainly am not being judgmental in saying you can't do it in this order. I just find it very interesting because most people don't. Most people don't at all. They, you know, pegging is something that they do way down the line, and sometimes not too long after they initially start having regular sex. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there because it was a surprise to me that you would be exploring pegging at the same time you're exploring sex. So, okay, let's move on to your third question. Should I expect some discomfort on my first time, or would discomfort be a sign that we're doing something wrong or that we need to use something smaller? Okay, discomfort is an interesting word to use. Pain definitely means you should stop what you're doing and back off, because here's the deal. If it hurts, then you're doing something wrong. And if you're doing everything right and it still hurts, then you should go to the doctor and get checked out. That's kind of the basic rule. Should you expect some discomfort? Discomfort is a word that makes me think of, well, it's a little uncomfortable, but this is something I'm getting used to. Yeah, a little uncomfortable, yes, but not to the point of pain. You're encouraging these sphincters to open up, and it's the first time that they've opened up for something going in as opposed to something coming out, so it might feel kind of strange. Some guys talk about it feels a little strange, feels a little uncomfortable, feels like they have to go to the bathroom, something like this. So you need to remember to go very slow, and when I say very slow, I really, really mean very slow. I mean like, you know, 15, 20 minutes of preparation and playfulness and teasing and getting ready for it and relaxing, as opposed to, okay, I put a little lube in there and I rubbed it a little bit, and so now 30 seconds later, I'm going to put this toy in. No, I really do mean take it slow. And it can be this lovely, sensuous thing that you two do together if you like. It can be totally awesome in that way. So don't think it's like you're being sentenced to have more patience than you want to have. It can be part of the journey. It can be a lovely part of the journey. And please remember also to go slow. You said, you know, if there is discomfort, is it a sign we're doing something wrong or we might need to use something smaller? It could be a sign of you just need to go slower. Slow, 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 slow. Teasing slow. I mean, if you're doing beginning anal play with your partner, which I recommend as the next stage after anal play yourself, then she should be going slow enough to where you are arching your butt up going, okay, I want more, I want more. Because that's when you're really ready for it. And sometimes that takes a while. It's not a matter of, okay, I give you 30 seconds to kind of tease things up a little bit, now I want to stick this thing in. No, 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 I'm talking like 10, 15 minutes, half hour even, days, multiple times sometimes. And, you know, anticipation is not a bad thing. It can be very, very sexy and very, very exciting. So I'm going to put some links for you for those two butt plugs. And I'm also going to put links for self-play, a description of how to do that for you. And then beginning anal play for her to play with your ass for the first time. The reason that I recommend that as the next stage is because what she's doing when she does anal play with your ass, not only with her fingers, but perhaps with the butt plug that you have, and eventually holding by hand the dildo that she will eventually fuck you with, is because what she's doing is learning what you like. Do you like it deeper and maybe slow, or do you like it fast and shallow? What angle do you like the best? She's learning to do what it is that is your favorite thing, and hopefully she can duplicate that when she puts that dildo in the harness. So there's a plan here. There's definitely a plan. And it works really well that way. And plus, it gives you all kinds of opportunity to have sexy fun at different times, as opposed to, oh, we went down to the sex toy store and we got a harness and went home and she fucked me and it was awesome. I'll bet it was awesome, and I'm not debating that, but you can sort of separate all of these firsts out to a number of different delightfully sexy and erotic experiences. So yes, that would be the answer to that one. And then you end your letter with, I know I have more questions, but this is all I can think of at the moment. I would greatly appreciate any advice you can provide, but whether or not you can, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to read this email. I love what you do, and I hope you never stop. And when the time comes, I can't wait for you to play the music for me. And I love how you signed your letter. Sincerely, anxiously, awaiting anal. This just totally cracks me up because it's like a whole new take on AAA. And AAA, for those people who are across the pond or somewhere else in the world listening to this, is the Automobile Association of America. Okay? So it's the Automobile Club. Anyway, it's pretty well known in this country. So AAA, anxiously awaiting anal. That's totally awesome. So any of the toys that I mentioned, you'll find the links to those in my Linkorama on the blog. And thank you so much for writing in. You and your girlfriend obviously have a lot of fun ahead of you. So please do let me know when I can play the music. I'll be so happy to do that for you. Okay, here's another email. Hey Ruby, love your podcast. Discovered it earlier this year and listen to it often. I recently admitted to my girlfriend of 1.5 years that I occasionally use dildos on myself when I masturbate. Her reaction was actually interesting. She was very curious. I told her a bit and showed her my small collection. I mentioned the idea of pegging to her and asked if it's something she'd be willing to try. She said yes, so hopefully in the near future that's something to look forward to. I've looked here and there for a few different dildos for strap-ons and have listened to a few more of your podcasts. My girlfriend is on the bigger side, and I've heard you mention how a longer dildo would help in a situation like that. I also heard you read letters from others describing similar situations looking for a longer dildo with a thinner width. Well, I came across a small company called Hole Punch Toys. I've never bought one of their products, but they have a dildo that may be of interest to your other listeners as well as me. And then he gave me the link. But this letter goes on to say, wondering what you think. Would that be a good first-time toy? I've shown my girlfriend. She seemed to like it. I know you've mentioned how it's important to let her make the choice and have her along for every step, taking your advice. I can tell you that even though we haven't even fooled around with the idea yet, we've become a lot closer since I told her. Thanks for everything you do. Sorry if my thoughts are all over the place. And he signs it Ben. So we've already talked to the guy who owns this company, and he didn't show much interest in working with Entice Me, and he said he was about at the top of his capacity, so he is not a good candidate to offer these to us, but I wanted to give you guys the information because I know there's some of you out there that have been waiting for this kind of a toy for a while. So please feel free to order this from the guy at holepunchtoys.com. I'm not going to put in the Linkorama because eventually we're going to have our own offering. But for now, I at least wanted to put it in the podcast so that you have somewhere to go as opposed to nothing. The name of the dildo that Ben was talking about is called the Simon Peg, just like it sounds, S-I-M-O-N-P-E-G. The Simon Peg is 7 inches long, and the width at its widest part is 1 1/8 inches in diameter. So, Ben, good find on the Hole Punch Toys. I knew nothing about them at all. And I do think that the Simon Peg would be a lovely first-time toy. And I'm thrilled to hear that you have included her in choosing the toy process. It really warmed my heart as well to hear that you feel closer to her after talking with her about this. You know, that's the thing, because when you reveal your kinks to your partner, what you're doing is allowing your partner to know you even better, and that deepens intimacy. So it's no surprise to me that you two feel closer, even though you haven't done the pegging yet. And congratulations for having the courage to talk with her about it. I'm thrilled she reacted so well, and it sounds like you might be writing me soon and asking me to play the music for you two. Good luck with that, and let me know how it goes. Thanks for writing in, and thanks for the link. So in doing a little bit more research about the physiology, about the whole rectal and colon area and all that kind of stuff, I found out some new information that I want to share with you guys. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit more and offer some new information. Okay, so here's the deal. One of the things that happens when you put something in your ass is there is a muscle that needs to relax. And I'm not talking about just the outer and inner sphincters. There's also a muscle that needs to relax that normally is tight, stopping the flow of excrement from coming out of your colon and into the rectal canal. So I just learned something today in doing some research, and I had thought that that was called Hirsch's sphincter, but you know what? There is a sphincter there, but what controls it more is the puborectal muscle, and it's this loop of muscle that's ingeniously designed, whoever did this, and it goes around it kind of goes around it like a sling, and it's at the juncture of the rectal canal and then the colon. So it kind of pulls it over to the side and helps shut that off, if you will. So when you sit down to take a crap and you feel that sort of relaxing and you let the poop come out and all that kind of stuff, what's happening is that puborectal muscle is relaxing. Now it happens automatically because you have, you know, your body is taking a crap lots and lots of times. And that's what happens. So it doesn't happen automatically when you put something in your ass, but that's what needs to happen to straighten out the rectal canal and the beginning of the colon so that that's all kind of in a line. So as you can imagine, this comes into play when you have longer toys. when that muscle has pulled that juncture aside, if you push the dildo all the way in, what ends up happening is because right at that juncture, it kind of takes a right-hand turn, if you will, when the muscle is not relaxed. So you end up pushing against the wall of the colon, or sometimes the wall of the rectal canal. And it just doesn't feel good. It feels sort of like, ooh, kind of bottomed out, you know, that was a little too deep. But if you can relax that muscle, and in addition, here's something else that will help with longer toys. If you put your knees to your chest, that also straightens out that bend. So any position where your knees are to your chest in missionary, or like the yoga child pose where your knees are folded underneath you and you're kind of just humped over, or spooning as well, knees to chest, anything that's knees to chest. So the reason I offer all of this information is because it's quite possible that if you've kind of bottomed out and decided you don't like longer toys, that if you sort of play with it a little bit with relaxing the muscle and straightening out that bend as much as you can by putting knees to chest, that a longer toy might bring you a lot of pleasure. So you might want to take out those longer toys that you've discarded if you're someone who's decided you don't like to be penetrated deeply and give it another try. Now, one of the factors is also, to the best of my ability to understand it at this point, and I am checking the facts with a professional, but any professionals listening, please feel free to correct me if I have any of this wrong. There are also these structures called transrectal folds. And what these do, I think, is to provide a lot of the peristalsis that moves the excrement down the canal, right? Well, if you think about if there's something sticking out from the side of the wall and you push a dildo in there, if you catch it right at the juncture of the flap, then it's going to maybe feel uncomfortable. And it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to kind of get stuck. If the dildo goes in further out on the flap, it can push it aside. So that's a factor too. Now, the reason I described all this to you, which may or may not make any sense at all, is because one more thing you can do with a longer toy to get deeper penetration is to kind of jiggle it around and check the angle. Try different angles. Try and see what it feels like if you come in from a different angle and sort of move it around. That will help you clear the folds, and it will also help you clear that initial angle better. So there you go. That is the new information that I learned. So yeah, try out your long toys. Tell me what you think. And again, if any professionals are listening to this that would like to correct my physiology, that would be awesome. Okay, here's another email. Hey Ruby, hope you're doing great. Not quite a pegging question, but hoping you can help me out. I love the idea of pegging. I have yet to try it out, but I thought I would experiment with solo anal play first. See, the smart man here. Okay, to go on with the letter. I bought a medium-sized, anal-safe silicone dildo from Tantus, and I absolutely love thrusting it in and out of my ass. I was curious about feeling something in my ass without using my hands, so I can do chores, walk around, etc. So I started shopping for a butt plug and purchased the Tantus Slim. I looped it up with Vaseline and it felt great to insert it, but the toy, and he writes this all in caps, would not stay in unless I clenched hard or held it there. I am fairly new to anal play and can't imagine my asshole is too loose, but could it be? Is this normal? If not, can you recommend a toy that would stay put? Best to you and yours. Okay, here is the deal with the Tantus Slim. It's a teeny tiny little plug. I think the diameter is actually only an inch in diameter, but more importantly, the neck part, the neck that separates the base, that the base that stops it from going into your ass and requiring a trip to the emergency room. The neck between the base and the top of the plug, the differential between the widest part of that plug and the neck is almost non-existent. It is so small that that's why it won't stay in. So what you're looking for in a plug is something that is the size that your ass can handle, but also has a pretty good difference between the widest part of the plug and the neck. Because what happens is your anal sphincters close around that neck and keep it in. You shouldn't have to clench, and I totally get that you need something that stays in by itself so that you don't have to walk around in the world clenching. Walking around in the world with a butt plug and doing chores should be something pleasurable. It shouldn't be something that requires work and fear that it's going to come out. So I get your caps, dude. I really do. I can see where you're totally frustrated. So what you want, again, I'm going to recommend the Enjoy butt plugs. Not only because there's a huge difference between the width, the widest part, and the neck, so they stay in really well, but also because they're, again, the stainless steel, really easy to sterilize, and just the weight of them. I mean, I keep talking about that, and I imagine it's hard for people who haven't tried that out to envision what that feels like, to think of what that feels like. But it's a heavy weight in your ass, and it sort of reminds you that it's there. It's very different than putting a silicone plug in your ass. So that's why I like them so well. Enjoy makes amazing toys, amazing, amazing toys. So I would recommend one of those. I am not sure of the diameter of the Tantus dildo that you really enjoy playing with. So my recommendation would be to measure the width of that and get something equal. That's what I would recommend. Do not worry about your ass being too loose. Please don't worry about that. And you're not going to stretch it out. If you have any fears around that, I'm going to put a link to Will I Ruin My Ass Forever? Okay. I've got a couple of links there. One is very physiologically specific about why that's a myth. And the other just talks about how it is a myth. So I'm going to put a couple of links in there for you. So try the Enjoy and see what you think. Thanks for writing in. All right, here's another email. Hi, Ruby. Love your websites and podcasts. My man and I are new to pegging. He loves me being dominant sexually, and he absolutely adores anal play. We've tried pegging maybe 6 to 8 times, and I'm disappointed in the result. I just can't seem to get it right. I lose my position and often slip out of him. He is so appreciative of my effort and says it feels great, but I know I could be performing so much better. Sometimes I become so frustrated that I just give up the pegging and simply penetrate him with the dildo in my hand. Again, he says he enjoys it, but this seems too clinical. We both love the physical connection, body contact, and being able to kiss that pegging allows us. A little info on us. I'm taller by about 4 inches. I'm also a big woman, 230 pounds, at a size 18 to 20. He's very small, only about 130 pounds. We've tried missionary position with his knees drawn up near his chest and rear entry with him lying on his stomach and me on top. Most recently, we tried it with him kneeling and lying stomach down across an ottoman and me doing rear entry. I heard about the Tantus Sport Long Dildo on one of your podcasts and have ordered that. I haven't received it yet. Can you offer any quick tips on best position for people with our size differential? Any other tips would be so welcome, too. Also, are there any exercises to do to improve the pegging muscles? I get really, really tired after only a few minutes. Is there any way to practice pegging without actually doing it with my man? Thanks so much, Gail. So, Gail, thank you so much for writing in. You did the right thing by finding a Tantus Sport Long before they're discontinued. I don't know where you got it, but good for you. So that should probably be there by now because you wrote this letter a little while ago. I'm wondering if you two have tried out him riding you. Here are two positions that are really good for beginners when you get tired. Actually, I'm going to give you three positions, and I'm going to try and describe them really well so that you know exactly what I'm talking about. The first one's easy. It's just like cowgirl, but it's cowboy. You lay down, you get to be the pillow princess if you're tired, or even start out that way if you don't feel like really making a whole lot of effort, and he is the one that gets to control the penetration, the speed, the depth, all of it, and you can watch him. His cock is right there and accessible, and he might be able to bend over and kiss you as well. That depends on the lengths of your torsos and how those match. So that might be a really cool one for you guys. The other, and this one has a piece of furniture. It's called the Chairman. I'll put links to that one because I have a good picture of that being done, and what you want is a sturdy wooden chair or any kind of a chair. It doesn't have to be wooden, but armless, no arms to it, okay? So it's a sturdy chair and it's got ideally a high back to it. So what happens is you sit on that chair just like you sit on a normal chair and you've got your harness on and he sits facing you, okay? And so he slides that dildo in his ass and basically puts his hands over your shoulders and holds on to the top of the chair. So if you do that, he can basically slide back and forth and fuck himself just like that. That's a very intimate position for kissing as well. It's awesome. And his cock is right there. Again, you can play with it right there. So quite accessible. That's the chairman. And last but not least, if you are trying to fuck him missionary, okay, and you get tired, which I am so with you on that one. Missionary is a difficult position. What you can do is this. He's still laying on his back, but have him bend his knees and put his legs apart, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to take your two legs and separate them and slide them in the holes that his knees, his upraised knees, make. So you're going to do that and scoot forward until your crotches are very close together. Well, what you can do at that point, and he can't be on a pillow for this one, so he has to be flat on whatever surface you're fucking on, the bed or whatever. You can slide that dildo in his ass, scoot forward, and then literally all you have to do is rock back and forth just a little bit. It takes very little effort. So those are the three that take the least effort and, to a certain extent, the least skill, that are great for beginners, but also really take into account the whole, yes, fucking can be hard. Fucking can be an athletic event. Now, the only thing that I have found that helps to exercise the muscles is, you know, certainly doing abdominals, because it takes a fair amount of core strength to do that. But in terms of the motion, another thing you can try is hoops, like, so, you know, hula hoops, but they have adult ones that are heavier, that are awesome, and actually give you a little bit more exercise. That'll give you a nice, smooth thrusting motion, basically. Someone suggested at one point in time belly dancing, but belly dancing's different. It's side to side. It's not forward and backward. So you want to do that thrusting and that roll of the hips forward. But, you know, there's so many muscles that come into play when you do this, depending on the position that you're in. There's a story that I wrote that I will link to. And the reason that I wrote it was because I'd been working out like mad at the gym. And I had this nice young man in my bed. And there was a moment when I just felt so strong. But see, in that moment, there were a lot of different places of me that felt strong. He was over a couple of pillows face down. And I was just beginning to penetrate him. And I was waiting for his ass to open up. And that's where the balance comes in. You have to support your weight. And I was guiding the dildo with one hand. And then I was holding my whole weight up with the other arm. And I'd been working out so much, I went, wow, I can do this. This is actually, you know, okay. And I could stay here for a while. And it's awesome. And then I fucked him for quite a while because, like I say, I've been working out like a maniac. And I had a lot of core strength, a lot of strength all over my body. So that, I suppose, could be a goal, is to just work out, period. But core strength is big. And depending on the position, arm strength comes into play as well. So let's see, any other positions I can think of. If anybody else has that type of size differential and they know of some cool positions, please feel free to write in and share that information, because, you know, crowdsourcing rocks, totally rocks. So give those a try and let us know how it goes. Thanks for writing in, Gail. Okay, here are some comments. Ruby, two comments from episode 156. First, 50 Shades of Grey did make it easier to explain my lifestyle to people. I tell them we live a 50 Shades of Grey lifestyle, and the ice has been broken. Of course, I explain that it's not exactly like the movies, because the movies are not based in reality, but it is an easy way to explain where you're going. Second, you speak of asking questions and acting like the man sometimes when you're negotiating sex or play. I find that negotiation process a big part of the fun. Whether I'm on top or bottom, deciding what everybody likes adds to the anticipation and creates a little tinge of excitement for when the actual play happens. We often meet new partners at a neutral place like a restaurant. When we finally get together and play, the excitement has already been built, especially if we have spent some time communicating with each other via text or email. Here's another comment. Dear Ruby, in your latest podcast, you featured the tale of the man who visited a pro to experience pegging. Part of his story was concerned with his desire to suck another man to completion. It really struck a chord with me for the following reasons. I am a 60-year-old straight man in a heterosexual relationship who for the past 2 years has been interested in stretching my scrotum by means of hanging steel weights from my balls. Through a forum, I made contact with another ball stretcher who lives not far from me. We agreed to meet, having already confessed my desire to suck his cock. Well, to cut a long story short, I found out that I have quite a talent for deep-throating. I had an amazing time and swallowed his load with no problems whatsoever. So at the age of 60, I discovered that I am orally bisexual. I have not repeated the experience, but mainly because I felt so guilty about having sex outside of my relationship. I would heartily recommend that your fan tries oral with a man. You never know, he may be quite good at it. I love your website, your crusade, and your ethos, David. And one more here. As a faithful follower from the beginning, podcast number 158 is definitely the most action-packed episode yet. First, he warns about dangers of small-based plug. Yes, I can relate when I had an early version of the Tantus Rider with the smaller flexible base get sucked in. The initial sensation being sucked in was great. The recovery of the toy, not so much. Since the toy was so well lubed, getting it out was not working. The trip to the emergency room didn't have any appeal. Fortunately, sitting on the toilet for 20 seconds and out it came. Next stop for the Tantus Rider, the graveyard of evil toys. Second, he gets pegged by a pro for his birthday. Now he's exploring his sexuality at full steam ahead. Pros to the rescue. My first experience was with a pro, and I will always hold them in the highest regard. Third, he recalls his first pegging experience with a hot couple. Yes, I can understand why you needed to take a break after reading that email. But my question, as in the second email, will be how long before these guys crave cock over toys? Just saying. Looking forward to their updates. You know, I have to comment on that comment. A couple of things. One is that they have redone the base of the Tantus Rider. Thank goodness, because, I mean, hey, it wasn't named after me, but it's got the same name as my last name, Ruby Rider, right? So anyway, they have made it thicker. It does not fold like that. It's not going to happen again. I had one of those plugs. I had the exact same thing happen, and I chucked it too because, man, that is not okay. But they've redesigned it, and it's totally fine now. So don't worry about the Tantus Rider. It's a great plug. And the last one is, how long will it be before these guys crave cock over toys? You know, sometimes with some guys, it just stops at the toys. So I don't want you to lead people to believe that if you start doing the toys, that you're eventually going to crave cock. Because that's not necessarily true. And it can actually put a fair amount of fear in people who are listening. Some people are bisexual. Some people aren't. Some people don't know that they're bisexual until they play with some toys. Some people play with toys and never ever have a thought about interacting with another cock for the rest of their life. It's really quite unpredictable. So although there's a chance, sure, it's not like, oh yeah, now you're going to want the cock, which is how you made it sound. So I had to put that in there. I had to put a little correction in there, but thank you for writing in those comments. I loved all of them. All right, we are done for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also, pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order sexy new toys from Entice Me, don't forget to use that coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions in to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too crazy. No question is out of bounds. Ask whatever you like, people, because everybody listening is going to learn along with you. So don't be shy. Send those questions into my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You all rock. Happy pegging!